think about from your teenager's perspective, they're pretty all about me as a teenager. That's very normal.
Oh,
And so
yeah.
if you can help them figure out what their why is, what they're meant to be, it opens up a whole world of exciting opportunities. It's not like I have to do this and I have to do that and check that box and da da da. That is stressful. But to answer your first question, and that is, do I get clients who are feeling overwhelmed and unsure? I get two types of clients. I get one, excuse me, they messed up the first child and they feel really guilty about it. And so I get the second child. I get a lot of those. The
Okay.
second client that I help a ton of is the student is amazing, but it's just a GPA and a test score. And that's no longer going to get you into a good college.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jessie LeBeau.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I am so excited to be able to bring someone who has some awesome insights and value that she's going to be able to add. Shelly Howard, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Jesse.
I know we're hanging out here a bunch. This is starting to become a thing.
I like it. Well, they say great minds think alike.
That's what I'm saying, right? Or crazy people, but we'll be the great minds. Let's go for that
Love it.
one. So, how did you, let's just jump right into this. How did you get going in what you're doing today? Can you give us a little bit of the backstory of how you're helping teens and families?
Absolutely. So the College Ready and See Our Future Now have all come from a need from a child. College Ready was my firstborn, and he came home from eighth grade, and I'm not going to give you his whole story, but I'll just give you the punch to it. He said,
Okay.
"Mom, I know exactly where I want to go and exactly what I want to do after high school. Can you help me?" And I'm a mom, and I'm like, "Yeah, sure. What do you want to do?" And he says, "I want to be a brain surgeon, and I want to go to one of those top colleges." And he walked away like, oh, just no big deal. And I sat there thinking, wait a minute, I applied to two colleges. I didn't have a plan. I changed my major five times. I am not suited for this challenge. So, like I said, long story short, there's so much in between. But when he graduated, he had seven full ride offers to top tier colleges, ended up at Harvard pre-med. Went to Harvard 4 years, got one B, and graduated debt free. And then from there, he's like, well, I still have medical school, but I don't really want to go into debt. So I'm going to try a JOB. And I'm like, okay, your first job's probably a good idea. And he's like, what are you going to do? And he says, well, I want to be a consultant. I'm like, you've never had a job. What are you going to consult on? And so, we're trying to get through this process, and he's like, Mom, I know how to think and I can help people. And I'm like, fantastic. So he did that. It lasted for about a year, and he's like, I've got to go to med school. So he took the MCAT and he scored very well and ended up at UC San Diego right
Oh,
on La
nice.
Jolla so he could surf when he wasn't in class. So he had a really great medical school experience. From
Nice.
there, he did very well and he ended up matching with UCLA as an orthopedic surgeon resident. And he is now in his final year of his residency. And at 30, he is debt free and will have his whole life ahead of him with a wonderful career that he's passionate about. And that's what College Ready is all about, is helping kids figure it out.
Yeah. Wow, what a guy. I mean, to be in the eighth grade and be like, "Hey, I know what I want to do." Like that to me is by far the minority of kids where they're trying to figure it out. I know for me in my own journey to get to college, it was like I finished basketball my senior year. And by the way, we played against UCSD when I was in San Diego in basketball, so that's fun. And after basketball finished my senior season in high school, I was like, well, what now? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. They weren't beating down my door with scholarships all over the place like your son. And I think a lot of people find themselves in that situation, too. Is that fair to say in your work that most people are kind of like, oh, I don't know how any of this works. This is a whole new ball game, and there isn't a lot of resources and information out there on it. And is that what kind of led you to jump into this?
Yeah, so how College Ready was started is a very interesting story. I was sitting at my son's graduation from high school, and a young man sitting next to me said, "Dude, I didn't even know that kid was smart." He called me dude, and I thought that was entertaining. But the fact that he didn't know my son was smart was quite shocking to me. And because he was just a normal kid doing normal kid things, and he wasn't this intense Ivy League, high pressure, high stress. He was just enjoying his high school. I mean, he went to every event and every organization. He was part of leadership. And I mean, he really enjoyed high school. And so to me, that was proof that it can be done. He was the first to go to an Ivy League at his public high school in 25 years. So again, it wasn't a high intense high school. It wasn't a high intense parent. It was, I showed him opportunities and I figured out his why. Why do you want to go to college? What do you want to study when you get to college? What do you want to do after college? Why were you put on this earth? Yeah. And we really had those conversations, because think about from your teenager's perspective, they're pretty all about me as a teenager. That's very normal. And so if you can help them figure out what their why is, what they're meant to be, it opens up a whole world of exciting opportunities. It's not like I have to do this and I have to do that and check that box and da da da. That is stressful. But to answer your first question, and that is, do I get clients who are feeling overwhelmed and unsure? I get two types of clients. I get one, excuse me, they messed up the first child and they feel really guilty about it. And so I get the second child. I get a lot of those. The second client that I help a ton of is the student is amazing, but it's just a GPA and a test score, and that's no longer going to get you into a good college. And so they don't know how to build a standout strategy without strangling that child and not allowing them to sleep. I make it enjoyable, I make it educational, and I make it an experience that they can talk about in an interview or on an essay. Because remember, the goal is not to get into a brand name of a school, it's to get out of college without debt and have a career that is a great fit academically, socially, and financially.
And I see that too when I go to these schools, and that has been something that was a frustration, because a lot of times I'll go to a school and they'll be like, this is where you need to go. This is where the government funding is for Title I. And there is all sorts of things that they need help with and issues that they're struggling with. But then you can go just down the street to a school that's in a more affluent area, and they're having just as many problems, but it's some of these other problems that we're talking about of like, wow, there's a lot of pressure and stress to, you know, go and do something great beyond high school and get into those elite colleges and those different types of things. So I love that you're helping, that you see that there is a way to do it and have a balance, because one of the biggest things that I try to apply to my own life is you gotta enjoy the journey. You know, so if you're not enjoying, you know, this time that you have in high school because you're so worried about getting to college, you're missing the boat completely. So how do you make it fun and engaging for kids to go about this process that they need to do?
Well, first, I speak teenager like you, right? I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll never grow up, but I love teenagers and I get them and there's no judgment. I think that has a big part of it. I have four kids of my own and they still love to come home. And I find that is always a good sign. So what I do is very similar to the experience I would want for any young adult. I want them to really get clarity. And how do you do that? Because if they're on their phone or on their computer every waking moment that they're not in school, they're seeing all of the stuff that is everybody's very best day. And so I have to help them get real about what that is. But more importantly, I don't focus on the negative. I focus on the them. What does that mean? We start off as, what are they passionate about? Then we talk about their core values. Then we talk about their gifts and talents that they were given. And then we talk about their advocacy. What do they get on fire about, right? This generation has some fire. Yeah. So once we wrap that all together, we're like, if you could get up on a Saturday morning and have nothing to do, no homework, no chores, not, what would you do? They don't know. That's where the big disconnect is, right? So now I take them to the next level and I help them to see, would this be a good thing? Would this be a good thing? Would, you know, a parent could do the same thing, but the child has all this music going on that they think that the parent is judging. At least my children did. And all I want for these kids is what they want. So when I say, well, what do you think about this? They know it doesn't come from a place of judgment. It comes from, I'm curious. What do you think about this? And then they say, you know what, Shelly, I don't even like people. And I'm like, good to know. Yeah. I have another, another conversation. I really need to do something different every day. Please don't put me in an office. Excellent. We got to talk about those things. Then we go and we interview people doing different careers they want to do. Genius. Why don't you ask somebody who's doing what you want to do before you go and spend the time to get educated to do that? Yeah. And then we talk about how much money it costs to move out. Because at some point, that teenager needs to move out of the home and they have no concept of how much electricity or even a cell phone bill or a new computer or, you know, a mattress. Like, so we have some real conversations about, I call it adulting 101. These things are not being addressed in the high school. And if a family doesn't have a child who wants to have this conversation with them, where's this going to happen? And so we take all of the fear and the unknown out of adulting. And now we're like, and now what do you want? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, you get to choose the next 4 years of your life. Where do you want to live? What do you want to major in? What kind of career? Do you want to go into debt? Right? And they're like, I get to choose. And I'm like, you get to start the conversation. It doesn't mean we're going to end with that, because students will say, I want to go to UC Santa Barbara. And I'm like, awesome. Why? And they're saying, have you seen the view from the dorms? And I'm like,
Yeah.
So there's some education that goes along with the process.
Yeah. Back to that budgeting and financing for UCSB. It's a good view, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, and they may not have your major.
Yeah. So it sounds like your son was a real type A go-getter, make it happen, and he was able to have that balance. I'm curious, your other kids, what was the experience like of this process? Was it similar, or did they have different personalities, and talking about their why and their passions was maybe tougher to have those conversations? Was it the other side of the spectrum at all with any of your kids?
Well, first, my firstborn was not a type A until probably his senior year in high school, just to clarify that. He was curious. I would put him, I'm curious, and I want to help people. But I can honestly tell you, when I told him he needed to do 200 community service hours, he's like, there's no way I'm doing that. So he wasn't this perfect, easy, just go do it kind of, young man, but he did listen to me. And even if he didn't want to do it, he did do it because he knew that I had his best interest at heart. So I have to clarify that, because if he listens to this, he's going to be like, whoa, 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 you guys do not get me at all. And so child number two, actually, she worked way harder. Her work ethic was insane. And she was, what's next, mom? What's next, mom? What's next? But she had to work really, really hard for her grades, and she was not a great test taker. So she had different challenges. She had a great, I mean, really great resume, but the GPA and the test score were a little soft. So we had to reverse engineer and kind of fix and tweak some of that. So child number two, very different. I remember I took her to Harvard to visit her brother, and she's like, oh, heck no, mom. There's no way I want to go here. And I remember laughing, thinking, this is exactly right, right? Not, they're not the same. Child number three, he's laid back, low key, easy going. And he just kind of flowed through the whole process, no stress, no worries. And he really didn't find himself till his sophomore year in college. Maybe a little bit more like you, where he was like, I don't know, this is kind of like cool, but I'm not 100% sure. But now he's on fire. Child number four is brilliant, right? The baby of the family. She's like, well, he went to Harvard. She went to University of Alabama. He went to a California school. I'm going to go and do a dual degree in Europe and become an international business major and get a European and US degree in 3.5 years for $27,000. That's what I'm going to do. So she's at AAU in the Czech Republic of Prague. And her dream is to open up bakeries all over the world. She's my entrepreneur of all four of them. And so she's a little bit more thinking out of the box. But again, all four of them are extremely different. And after 17 years of working with other people's children, I have come to realize that is normal in most families.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We talk about that a lot, where you can do the exact same things as a parent. And let's say you have four kids, like your situation that you're saying there. And one of them goes to Harvard, one of them is excelling in other ways, and others can be struggling, you know, in totally the most difficult things that they have going on in their lives. And you did the same thing with all of them. There's a lot of variables and a lot of moving pieces, and anything can happen, and you just try to do your best. But I love this putting their best foot forward early and making a plan, because with anything in life, we talk about, well, if you don't have that plan, then you are having a plan, and it's a plan to fail. And you're just going to be the person like, oh, I'll just go where the wind blows. And it's like, you don't want to just go where the wind blows, because it usually doesn't blow in good places. So when you're talking to these parents, and it makes sense to me that there would be parents that messed up on the first kid, because I think a lot of it is like, they just don't know. Like my mom was the first person in my family that went to college, and she did it as an adult when I was born. So it's like most people, they just don't even know like all the, what tests do you have to take, and why is it important to have like a point of view and community service hours and give back and do these different things? Can I just get good grades and I pick, and what's a junior college and all of these things? So as a parent, where's the best place to get started? Would you say if they don't know anything about this, but they want to have the best chance for their son or daughter to be successful, to go someplace great and do the things that they want to do and ultimately find their passion?
I say every student needs a foundation. And I wrote a best-selling book, How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. And I wrote it because I lost a bet to my son. I'm not kidding you. I bet him that if he got into an Ivy League school and graduated without debt, that I would write a book. Well, The joke was on me because as he crossed the stage at Harvard's graduation, he handed me the diploma and he says, "Mom, where's the book?" And I panicked because I do not like writing. I love yeah. public speaking and I don't like writing. So I kept my promise. I actually went on hiatus for 3 months, wrote the book to parents of exactly what you're saying. Where do I go? Who do I ask? Where do I even begin this crazy process? And all of the details. So the book I will gift to your listeners if they go to my website at www.collegereadyplan.com. So it's collegereadyplan.com. And that book I'm happy to gift to them for being a listener of your podcast. But in the book, it is an easy read for busy working parents. I did not make it a deep dive novel. There's worksheets, there's questions, there's fun games like helping your child navigate, you know, what's most important. I call it, do you want to be a millionaire? Some kids don't until they realize that they can't leave the house. Yeah, so there's yeah. all kinds of challenges and hard conversations that I want families to know ahead of time. And that's the best place to start. The second best place to start is don't Google it. Do not Google it. There are 32 million different things when you Google college admissions planning that will freak you out. So just be mindful. That is a positive way to go and a negative way to go. Be careful, parents, because it can be a little overwhelming.
Got it. That sounds like when you got something hurting and not feeling good and you go on WebMD and you're like, I actually have cancer. I got 3 minutes to live. Actually, I'm already dead. According to WebMD, I'm not even alive right now. I don't know how I'm reading this. Okay, so those are a couple great places to start for the parent that's moving down that road with their teen.
Right, for Love sure.
It. So here's a question for you. Is college for every kid? What say you?
I think this is such a great question. Being a child of two self-made millionaires who did not go to college, I always find this so interesting to answer. And then I think about the wisdom that my father gave me, and I'll share it with your listeners. He said, you have choices in life. Some you'll make good choices and some not so good choices. Do you have a reason not to go to college? That's the first question, because knowledge is power in this world. The people who read books, the people who seek knowledge, they run the world. And if you just choose not to go, you have to understand at some point, somebody's going to outpace you, or you're going to make a lot of big mistakes before you get there. And so he said, listen, as long as you don't go into debt and you're getting knowledgeable, why would you not want to go? And then my mom said, and socially, that's where you grow up. That's where you learn how to do your laundry, how to solve your own conflicts, how to, you know, make friends and acquaintances for life. I don't think every child should go to college. I have a nephew who's an amazing welder, and he has followed his passion of off-road racing, and he's the best welder he can possibly be. The challenge that most students and families don't look at that I like to share is I think trade schools are super important, and I encourage students, if that's their love, to go that direction. But if you want to be a plumber, do you want to be a plumber until you're 70 when you retire? Your knees, your back, your hands, they may hurt. If you took a business class or two and you ran a couple of plumbers, would that not be a better retirement solution? Again, it's just different type of thinking. I don't disagree with whatever. Remember, I'm that person. I don't disagree. I don't. It's not my opinion. It's your life. It's knowledge. What do you want? But let me show you what's ahead, Because a lot of students I meet with are, I want to be an influencer. All I want to do is talk online and money thrown at me. Like, this is great. And I say, where's your business plan? And it gets real quiet really fast.
Yeah. I hear that too a lot. That's I think the most popular thing is it was a YouTuber and now it's the influencer. So you can do it on all the social media channels, right? It seems like almost everyone I meet is like, I have a million on TikTok. And then like, does that even mean anything anymore? It seems like someone the other day, his grandma had a million on there. And at least she was doing some cool stuff. She was doing cooking recipes. And I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, without that education and without that, like you said, I think a big part of college is the social part of learning how to navigate and be around people that come from different places, that believe different things, being able to have discourse and disagreements, and learning that that's okay. You could still be friends with someone and not agree. In fact, if you agree with someone on everything, you're probably not thinking for yourself too much or them either. So I see so many benefits of it. It just has gotten so expensive. And I know for me, growing up with my dad being a logger, my mom being a school teacher in Alaska, it was a like, hey, you need to get a scholarship. Like, you need to figure out how to make this happen. And whether that means going to junior college, which I ended up bouncing down to for 2 years in San Diego, or getting a basketball scholarship. But for me, I was like, I mean, I would love to get a basketball scholarship and I'm working hard, but I don't think I can bank on that. So I need to get the good grades and do the other things, which helped pick up some of the academic scholarships the first couple years until I was able to get it all athletic. But why is it so, do you feel like kids are missing the well-rounded aspect of, like you said, 200 hours of community service for son number one? Like, why is that important? And do you feel like most kids are able to do that on their own, or do they have to be kind of pushed?
Well, I think we addressed that earlier. Since every child is different, I don't think there's one way or the best way. I think understanding that particular individual and helping them find their why and helping them get to what is it they want for their life is a very important piece that people tend to skip. And when you're told to do something, the motivation is very different than when you want to do something. Yeah. And so it's not really, it's this or it's that. It's how do you get to their why? And if they're on their phone and their computer at all times, it's usually because they don't know what else to do. And so I mentioned, you know, community service is huge. Our students earned over $23 million in scholarships over the last 2 years. And that all came from passion with purpose and a standout strategy. It's not just checking the box in tutoring or checking the box in feeding the homeless. If you love to tutor and if you love to feed the homeless, good on you and keep doing it. But if that's not you, stop doing it and find something that you love, that you want to advocate for. Our students in this past year have built 3 schools in Uganda for children who used to learn under a tree. We found an opportunity to love on children who want to learn, right? Here in the US, we have to chase them down and make sure they show up to class. Here, these children are walking 3 hours to meet a teacher to get educated and begging for this. And so my students, my college ready students are like, Shelly, how do we do this? And so I'm the how to, and I meet them where they're at. So if you want to go into STEM and you love STEM, maybe it's robotics, maybe it's computer science, whatever that is, what can you do to help another person with the same passion? Because I promise you, in Uganda, Oaxaca, Korea, there's another person wanting to learn that same thing. You have the gift and the opportunity. Why can't you share that with another person who doesn't? You then learn, do I really want to go into that? And do I really love that enough to do it for a career? Or I dodged that bullet. Thank goodness I figured that out early. But the average student does at least 200 hours of service they are passionate about. And that's why they're successful. So it's not a punishment. It's really to help them figure out what they want to do.
Yeah. I love that, man. That's so awesome that those kids are doing that. I see it as such a cheat code with these kids today and with anybody of any age. Like the key to living is giving, as they say, right? So we get caught in these loops and it's all about us and I need a therapist and I need, you know, someone to talk to and I'm not happy and I'm depressed. And, you know, all those things could be valid things. But the people who find something that they're passionate about and they go and they give it away and they help other people. And you can, like you said, how are you going to not have a heart of gratitude when you see people that are walking 3 miles to learn under a tree and don't have any of the resources that you take for granted every single day? It just is such a perspective shift and it's a mind shift that is so needed right now where kids are focused on, you know, I'm someone that needs help. I'm someone that needs help. I'm someone that needs help too. No. I'm someone that helps other people. I help other people and that completely transforms their lives for the better. So I just love that you guys are doing that. And that's something that, you know, people, like you said, don't do it just to check a box. Do it because you're going to find something that you actually enjoy. And for the people who are stuck on their phones that you've kind of brought up a few times, they're stuck on the computers, they're stuck on their phones, like, put that thing down, get out there, and start making a life. Go from someone who watches other people live their fake, imaginary, highlight real life to having, you know, your own life, that you're doing something that matters and you belong to something that's bigger than yourself. So, man, I think that's the key, and I think you're really onto something there.
It's really a core value of College Ready. We're on a mission to help 1 million families get into college and graduate debt-free. But more importantly, we're on a mission. And we're not just college admissions planning. We're so much more because we care about the student like they were our own. And we want them to have the adulthood without the debt. So you put those two together, and that's a really healthy mindset.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that most people, even the adults, don't ever find their passion. Like it really is. So if you can help a person find that, that's such a gift. But if you can help them find it at a young age and really get that filed in, and that's okay. It could change. They can pivot and they could tweak it to, I thought I really liked this thing. Thought I was into engineering, but it turns out like I just kind of liked the people that were in that engineering class and I liked hanging out with them. And so they can pivot and do something totally different or another version of that. So man, I love it. Where can people go to check out and get part of your community and the tools and resources that you guys offer?
I think the easiest place is our website, and that's www.collegereadyplan.com. On there are all of our social media channels, our podcasts, our newsletters, our blogs. We are all about free resources. So if you go on there and you're like, oh my gosh, this would be so helpful, all we want you to do is learn. And the more you learn, the more choices you get to make. We also offer a complimentary 30-minute discovery call with you and your student so we can show and tell families what colleges are now looking for because it's very different than when your parents went to school.
Yeah, a big change for sure. Yeah, everything's happening so fast. Oh, that is just amazing. I appreciate it. And this is getting ahead of the ball because it's coming. Whether you realize it, this is coming and they have to figure this out for the next stage of life. And I love what you said about the, you know, I saw it as a reality check. Hey, here's how much it costs to like go out in the world and be on your own. So are you sure you don't want to go and try to do something that's debt free and also will allow you to make more money when you're on the other side of it? I think that's something that is not talked about until they're basically, hey, it's time to go. Figure it out. Figure it out on your own. So having those conversations early is so great.
I love it. It's so important, right? It goes back to what you started with. If you don't plan, you plan to fail. We're like, let's have a plan and let's make it your own, and you won't fail.
Yeah. And it's funny how when the child is, like you said, their plan, they're part of that process, it's what they're about, how much more excited and how much further they'll go, you know? So I love it. We're going to go and check out your resources. Thank you so much for taking the time to share this with us. And we'll definitely have to be chatting some more.
Thank you so much for having me.